We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi B'Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov B'Vidichos Elio. We're in Kalim Perik Yigimel Mishnah Ches. Masrek Shel Pishton Shenit Lushinov V'Nishtaya Boshtayim Tame. Speaking about a flax comb, and all the teeth came off except two. As long as two teeth remain, it's still usable to comb flax. Therefore, tame, it's susceptible to tuma. V'achas, but if there's only one tooth left, then Torah, then it's makabel tuma. V'chulon, achas, bifnei atzman, tameo. So now we're speaking about, let's say all the teeth came off. I want to know, what about the teeth themselves? Are the teeth makabel tuma? Can they be used to something? The Mishnah says, yes, they are makabel tuma. Because they can be used, we have this in the past, as a pen, as a stylus. If you're using it to etch into wax and write, so they can be used for that. The teeth can be used for that purpose. Does one have to designate it for that purpose? Some of us will say yes, because the primary function, of course, is to comb flax. That's why you put the teeth on to begin with. Now, to assume that I want to use them for writing, so that's a completely different purpose. And in fact, they broke off of the original kli. So obviously they weren't made for that purpose. So therefore, you have that in mind. You designate them for writing. They are going to be mekabel tuma, each of the teeth alone. Vishel tzemer, what about a comb used for wool? So the difference between the two, a masrek of pishtan and a masrek of tzemer, is that tzemer has thinner teeth and also has two rows of teeth. It looks a little bit more like a brush, except that a brush usually the teeth are thicker than that of a comb. Here, the teeth are thinner, that of tzemer, but it's two rows of teeth. And it's also important to be aware that they serve different purposes. The inner row is there just to hold or stabilize the wool, and the outer row is really the one that's doing the combing of the fibers that are very entangled, and the fibers are very thin, so therefore these teeth are also very thin. So the Mishnah here says, what about a masrek of tzemer, v'shel tzemer, shenit lushinov, achas b'bein taim? Here we're speaking about where every other tooth was removed. So when it came to the masrek of pishton, so we said, that's fine, as long as you have two left, it's fine. We're saying that it's missing, and we had this in the past also when it came to the saw, here you're missing every other tooth. Says the Mishnah, it's already going to be tahor. That is considered that it's no longer usable for its purpose, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Nishtayer bo shalosh b'makom echad, if you have three teeth in one place, tameh, then it is tameh, because if they're three in a row, so then it can be used to disentangle the fibers, to comb the wool properly. Haisa hachitzona achas mehen tahor. But if one of those three was the outer tooth at the end is thicker than the other, it doesn't really help comb, so that's really tantamount to having only two teeth, and two teeth in a row, and I don't know if you need three. So if the chitzona, the outer teeth, the ones on the end are the one, that's the one of the three, so then Torah, it's not mekabel tuma. The Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Mem Gimel raises an apparent contradiction within this Mishnah. Because when it came to the Masrek of Tzemer, we said if every other tooth is missing, so then it's going to be Torah, it's not mekabel tuma. That would imply that if you had, let's say, two teeth in a row, then it would be mekabel tuma. And yet the Mishnah in the next statement says explicitly that if you have three in one place, it's tameh, it's mekabel tumah, but that implies that two would not be good. So are two, do two make it a kli, two in a row, or only three make it a kli? So that's not clear. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it depends on the type of the row that we're talking about. We mentioned that the outer row is the one of teeth, is the one that's used really to comb. That disentangles the fibers. The inner one is really just there for stabilization purposes. So therefore, that's the difference. When the first statement implies that two teeth in a row would be enough, that's for the inner row, because that doesn't do the combing. The outer row, that needs to do the combing, so that would need three in order to be tame. Then the Mishnah says, what about nitlu mimenu shtayim? So when we came to a flax comb, so we said, oh, those can be used for writing. If teeth fell off, the teeth that fell off the wool comb can't be used for writing. They're too thin. So the Mishnah is telling us, but they can be used for other purposes. If nitlu mimenu shtayim, let's say two teeth were removed from the wool comb, and the one who owns this made them into a malketus tweezers to pluck out hair, tomatoes, then the kabel tuma, because now you made them into a usable kli. Achas viskino l'ner only. Now, obviously, only two can be used for that purpose. What if it's achas? What if you only have one tooth? What can you use that for? The very thin tooth, one thin tooth of a wool comb. So it says Mishnah, viskino l'ner only tuach. You used it or you made it. Now usable for, you prepared it for cleaning out the lamps, the aner, olami tuach, or let's say to stretch out cloth, we had it in the past, then tmea, then it is mekabel tuma. Perek Yudala Mishnah Aleph. Klei matchos kama hu shiuron. So the Mishnah here is dealing with metal kalim that broke. Now metal kalim that broke are different than earthenware kalim that broke or wooden kalim that broke. What's the difference? So when it came to clay cheres and clay eights, earthenware and wood, so as long as it's the broken piece can be used for any purpose at all, so then it's still mekabel tuma. But when it comes to metal, it's only mekabel tuma if it can be used for its original use. If not, then it would either need to be designated for a different use in order to be mekabel tuma, or it's tahor, or it's not mekabel tuma at all. Or let's say, and we've had this in the past, where the kli, let's say, has a primary use, but people know that when it's not can't be used for its original function, people typically use it for something else. Okay, so that's also okay. It's mekabel tuma. But generally speaking, it has to be used in order for it to be considered susceptible to tuma after it's broken. It has to be able to be used for its original purpose. So the Mishnah says, klei matzos kamu shiuron. What's the minimum measure for a broken metal kli that has to be left for it so that it's susceptible to tuma? So hadali, let's speak about have a metal bucket, kedei l'malos, malos bo, in order to draw water with it. Now, obviously, it was used to draw water before, but the difference was it could be that it was used, the dali was used, let's say, for washing clothing. So used it more like a trough, like a bath or something. So that is able to take a lot of water. Now it's broken, and all you can use it is to draw water for drinking, and you don't need that much water to drink. You need a lot more water to do laundry. So the Mishnah says, as long as it's enough, it's large enough in order to draw water, in order to drink, that would be sufficient. If not, then it's not mekabel tuma. Kumkum. Let's say you have a kettle. So kettle, as long as you can heat water, maybe you'd heat water for other purposes. Here it's just for drinking. So maybe you would use more for cooking, but now that it's broken, it can be used to warm up a little bit of water for drinking. So that's still its original use. So it's mekabel tuma. Less than that, so then it's not mekabel tuma. Mecham, with an urn, a larger kettle. Kedei lekabel slaim, in order to hold coins, sela coins, silver coins, 4 dinar, 4 zuz equal a sela. So what's this about? This is original use. It must be. It must be that when you make these urns, so a secondary use would be to store coins. And since that is part of its original purpose, if the kli broke and it can't be used for a lot of water, to heat a lot of water, if it can be used to store coins, sela coins, so then it's still mekabel tuma. Halefes, kedei lekabel kitonos. Lefes is a very large pot. That is where you put boiling water and you wash a small kalim inside. So now it's broken. So the Mishnah says, this lefes kedei lekabel kitonos, as long as it can store small jugs inside, even though maybe it can't be used to fill it up with enough water in order to wash them, it's still mekabel tuma. Kitonos kedei lekabel prutos. Kitonos are smaller jugs, as if they can hold prutos, small pruta coins, which are copper coins. Those are smaller than sela coins, and since that is sometimes used for this purpose, these ketonos, besides obviously putting in something to drink, so therefore it's mekabel tuma still, even though it's broken, because it can hold prutos. Midos yain b'yain and midos shemen b'shemen. When it comes to wine, normally you use to measure midos, the measuring kalim, to measure wine. They're only to continue to become tummy after they're broken if you can still use them to measure wine. And same thing when it comes to oil, kalim, midos of oil. Rabbi Lezer Omer Kulon Beprutos. He disagrees with the Tanakhama and says, now all these, all these measuring vessels, not everything in the Mishnah, but the midos, when we speak about, we mentioned ketonos, kedei lekabel prutos. He says the midos yayin and the midos shemen, if they can hold pruta coins, so the copper coins, that's also even though they're broken, that is considered a use, a purpose, even though a secondary purpose, and therefore it's still mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva Omer Hamechusar Chatifa Tamei VaMechusar L'Tisha Torah. This is a different halacha regarding kelim that kli matchos, metal kelim. We learned that what's the halacha regarding a kli made out of metal, but it's not finished. So we mentioned that we're very strict when it comes to metal kelim, because people usually use them for wealthy people in order to sell them, or they're very fancy for the decoration, and therefore when they're unfinished, they're really gol mei klei matros, are not considered kelim until you finish them. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Hamechusar chatifa. What if you have a metal kli that is completely finished, except it doesn't have the cover wasn't made?" So says Rabbi Akiva, Tame, it's mekabel tumah, the cover is not part of the kli, it's considered a kli without that. Even though true, gol mei klei matchos, and not mekabel tumah, this is considered finished. V'mahamechusar l'tisha, but let's say it's missing, it's lacking, smoothing out, the surfaces are not smoothed out, so then Rabbi Akiva agrees, tahor, it's not mekabel tumah because it is unfinished.